signs under this. First, we come to Cetus. It's an ugly thing. Big thing.
One of the largest of all constellations. Called the sea monster. In all these various signs of the zodiac that are pictured by man. And as a sea monster, he pictures that which causes the final end of the church.
You notice that the band are tied to him. Our consecration leads unto death. This is what we are consecrated unto, to giving up our lives sacrificially with him. Yes, this is the first unpleasant sign in Aries. But it comes along with our acceptance. We are accepted through death. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You recall Belshazzar's feast.
And after Belshazzar interpreted the handwriting on the wall, he was given his reward. A gold chain around the neck. Royal robes and made third ruler in the kingdom. They believe it's an apt symbol of how the church, interpreting to the civil powers the final message of thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, will be rewarded by those powers. They'll be given the gold chain of immortality. They'll be given the purple robes of rulership. They'll be made the third ruler in the kingdom. God the first ruler, Christ the second, and the church the third. All by their being put to death by these powers. It's the best thing that could happen to the church because it marks the moment of her acceptance. The first sub-sign is Cetus. The second sub-sign is Cassiopeia. Here we have another queen.
But this queen is different.
This queen is seated upon her throne. The chains are gone. Yes, the time has come then for Christ, for the Christ to rule together, for the church to reign with her king. She is making herself ready. She has made herself ready. She is finishing the work on her hair. And we have Perseus. Perseus is the liberator, the one who set Andromeda free to become Cassiopeia. Our Lord, fighting for us and with us, the one who frees us and brings us to his side. And doing this, he slays the Medusa, the woman with the, instead of hair, snakes, the evil influences that operate upon us. This finishes the Gospel Age picture. Let's move rapidly into the Millennial Age picture. The first one is Taurus. Taurus the bull. Not really. That's not the symbol at all, the bull. All nations, again, have it as a wild ox, the ream, the unicorn, in the scriptures. And the wild ox is a picture of judgment going forth. Judgment unleashed. The horns pushing all the undesirable elements out of the sky. And it is here we find the Pleiades, the throne, the symbol of the throne of God, seated right here in the shoulder, the symbol of the power of judgment going forth. And under this, again, we have three sub-signs. We have Orion. Orion, the mighty hunter, going forth to execute the judgment of that day. And in his hand, he holds the head of a lion. Yes, because Satan is being bound and has been bound at this time. And going forth from his feet is Aradinus, an odd river, because it's not a river of water in the sign. It's a river of flaming fire. Just as in Daniel, the seventh chapter, we find when the judgment seat comes, a stream of fire issues forth. The judgment stream of our God, consuming completely the sea monster, Cetus. We might pause here for a moment. Why do we find Satan both represented by a serpent and a dragon or a sea monster? Wouldn't one symbol do? No, they picture two different things about Satan. A serpent pictures Satan in his subtlety. A dragon or sea monster pictures Satan in his rulership in the sea over the restless masses. That's why we have the dragon picturing civil powers. It's because it's the sea monster. It's the one ruling in the sea. And this is what is consumed at this time that is thrown in to a lake of fire. In Revelation 20, you will recall that he comes and he binds the dragon, that old serpent, is this phase. The third is Auriga, the shepherd bringing home the lost sheep. We're now coming into the glorious scenes of the kingdom. Passing quickly on, the next sign is Gemini, the twins, the sign of reunion, of that one month. Now we find the church combined with the Lord. We find the world coming into at one month with their creator. We find three sub-signs again. The first is Lepus, the hare. The hare is one of the unclean animals. Not a vicious animal, but an unclean animal under the law. In the kingdom on the highway, First must be driven out all everything that is unclean, everything that is opposed to our Lord. This is the work of the Highway of Holiness. It is a reforming work. And who does it? Canis Major, the big wolf. Wolf because it's the natural enemy of the hare. Picturing our Lord driving forth these elements. And right following along is Canis Minor, the church, the little wolf, following along with the big wolf. Going on, we come to the 11th sign, Cancer the Crab. This is one that seems to me the most strained of all the signs. And yet, the only picture that seems to fit is it's the thought of the grasping of the kingdom blessing, the holding fast to that which has now been learned. Having cast out the evil, it is holding fast to that which is good. And these sub-signs would seem to prove this. The first is Argo, the ship returning with the golden fleece. Mankind returning from their long journey of 6,000 years with sin and evil, having brought home the golden fleece, that which was shorn from Adam, the lost dominion, having learned the lesson of the permission of evil. Going on, we find the second being Ursa Major. Not the big bear, as we have it called, or the big dipper, as we have it called, but all ancient zodiacs agree that it's the big sheepfold. And to this agrees Job 38:32. Canst thou lead Arcturus with his son? Arcturus the shepherd, leading forth, not bears, but sheep, out of the sheepfold. It is bringing in of the sheep into the sheepfold, bringing into at one month, fully and completely, into the sheepfold of John the 10th chapter, all of the world of mankind, and along with it, the little sheepfold. Yes, there are two salvations. There's not only the earthly, but there's the one that includes the North Star itself, the church, the heavenly. Passing on to the final sign of the zodiac, we have Leo, the conquering lion. Yes, the final conquest. The little season comes, Satan is loose. We have the final conquest as Christ goes forth victorious over all, proved finally triumphant, until when he can say that God may be all in all. What are the sub-signs? Hydra, the many-headed monster. Satan once again coming back to ruin the whole scene. Once again he comes forth at the end of the beginning of the little season, but to a very sad fate. Second is Crater, the bowl of wrath. Yes, the plagues of God are poured upon him. The second sub-sign shows his destruction. But this time it's a complete destruction. You know why? What a snake, excuse me. You know what a snake pictures many times? Many times in mythology it pictures immortality. Because a snake will shed its skin and just keep going on living, getting new skin. But not this snake, because the final sub-sign is Corvus, eating up the skin itself, making sure that there is no more resurrection of this one. This is the end, complete finish in the whole plan as we come to its final consummation. So we think that not only in natural ways, not only in scientific ways, nor in figurative ways alone, nor in authenticating the Bible, but also in the various constellations that are put in the heavens, we have the heavens declaring of the glory of our God. We have other features to go into, but we'll stop here because it is time, I think, to take any questions, consider anything for discussion that the brethren may have. Does anyone have any thoughts to suggest? Any questions? Brother Dinwiddie.
I was wondering about the galaxy of stars.
Well, I would give an answer to that one offhand, that the galaxy of stars that points to the greatest precious promises, as far as I know, is the galaxy that we're in, because God's promises have to do with mankind. It's interesting in this connection that why did God choose the earth? Of all the billions and billions of planets, why the earth? The earth is not the biggest planet, but it's not the smallest. The solar system it's in is not the biggest, but it's not the smallest. The galaxy it's in is not the biggest, nor the smallest. And it's not the youngest. The youngest galaxies are what they call irregular galaxies. And it's not the oldest. The oldest galaxies are what they call elliptical galaxies. But it's the Middle Age galaxy, the spiral galaxy. It was a very average planet. It was the perfect place to perform the experiment. It was the average that he sought to show forth his lesson. So we would say that these apply to the galaxy in which the Earth is located. Are there any other thoughts in the brother's question, or any other questions, any other comments? Just wondering.
Well,
suggest a possibility that the religion of the household of faith, which we call the religion of Christ, has no inheritance in this world, and suggest the possibility, Lord, remember that, how the Lord will have the planet populated in ages to come.
This, we think, is true, and we might touch on another matter in connection with this. We're inclined to believe this suggestion. It seems logical to us. And while it may seem endless, and there are various theories as to the creation of the universe, some theories that the universe is infinite, and other theories that it is finite, we're inclined to think that the scriptures support the thought that the universe is finite. There are three scriptures which seem to indicate this. One states, Isaiah the 40th chapter, I believe it's the 21st or the 13th verse, I'm not positive offhand, that he measured the heavens with a span. It was a measurable thing, something that could be measured, not something infinite. Later in the 40th chapter, the 26th verse, it says that he numbered the stars and he gave them all names, and he remembers these names. You can't number infinity, but you can number a large finite group. And then the scripture we mentioned before about the heavens as a span of his hand. So we're inclined to think, as the true relativity would have it, that space being curved eventually curves back upon itself. And curving back upon itself, we'll finally come to the place where either of the two theories of creation, whether it be the theory that is called steady state of new matter being created, either new matter will cease being created when this is reached, or if it is the Big Bang,